There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, I'm Chris Wynn. Welcome to the Walk Report podcast in association with the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen as we join you once again before we go into the weekend's game against Birmingham City at home on the back of a goalless draw. A frustrating goalless draw, maybe. I don't know if you listened to me and Gav waffle after the game. You'll have seen heard our side of the coin on that game. And if you think Gav isn't with us this week, he is. He's right here waiting to come in. How's it going, Gav?
I'm all right, mate. How are you? It's weird being this side of the desk, but we're changing it up for the previews, aren't we? We're going to have a go at this.
Yes.
Because, you see, you're the match preview guy on the site. You're the one with all the facts and the stats and all the rest of it, and I'm the one who just sort of turns up half-cocked, not really knowing what to say, what to do. So, yeah, it's an experiment.
Well, that's it. We'll see how it goes. And I've got all the questions, so you haven't got a clue what I'm going to throw at you. I might throw a few curveballs at you. We'll see how it goes. But, yes, so it is Birmingham City at home, and it's an early kickoff. And I don't know about you, I'm not a fan of early kickoffs. I just don't like them.
No, because it means I've got to go to the pub earlier. And, you know, there's something doesn't feel quite right about having a pint at 10:30 in the morning. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of them, if I'm honest, because, well, it just spoils your day a little bit if you get beat. You know, if you don't win or you don't get a positive result, it's still early days when you're walking out the stadium and you've got to, you know, mope around for the next couple of hours. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of them. And it feels like we've just had nearly every kickoff messed around with this year, doesn't it? I mean, particularly the home ones. Things like we've been 5:30 kickoffs, 4:00 kickoffs, kicking off on a Friday night. Bloody barely played 3:00 on a Saturday at the Stadium of Light. I think I looked, it was, we had the one against Southampton, which I missed because I was at a wedding. And the next one wasn't until just the other week there. You know, we had nearly two months or something for another 3:00 Saturday kickoff. So, yeah, not a fan, but because we're massive, Sky love us and... yeah, we just get hoyed on whenever they need somebody to fill a slot.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, look, we'll get into it like in a minute, but, you know, hopefully when we look into it, we'll be expecting a win. But it is that thing, though, especially the early kickoff on a Saturday, because there's so much football for the rest of the weekend. And if we get beat in that kind of first game of the weekend, you just don't want to watch any football for the rest of it.
Correct. Yeah, I hate it. Even when if we don't get a good result, I avoid everything, but if we win, I'm watching the highlights 20 times, every clip on Twitter, every clip on YouTube. I'm watching Match of the Day, I'm watching the Championship highlights, and then watch it again the next morning. I can't get enough of football when we get a good result. But I've got no interest in what else goes on the rest of the weekend, and yeah, it kind of spoils it, doesn't it? So let's just cross everything and hope we get something positive, and then I'll enjoy all of the football this weekend.
Yes, well, I've been looking into it, and hopefully, I reckon we'll have a pretty positive conversation when I've been looking at Birmingham. But like I said, Birmingham City at home, and I mean, I don't know what you just think when you just think about Birmingham City as a club, because when I was young, Birmingham City were crap. They were always in the bottom two divisions. They were always struggling a little bit. Then they had that kind of long period and a, you know, decent stint in the Premier League. You know, they were kind of bobbing about for 3 or 4 seasons and they were kind of up and down a little bit. They won the League Cup. They had a stint in the Europa League. But I don't know, they just seem, you know, you're looking at it's their 13th season in the Championship. And we've talked before about some of these clubs who just seem stuck in a rut. And for the last five seasons or even longer than that, I'm looking at what, 3, 4, 5, something like 6 or 7 seasons, they've never finished above 17th.
Bloody hell.
I mean, that's crap, isn't it? And
yeah.
You just feel like there's so many clubs in this division who seem to be stuck in that same rut, just in a cycle in the Championship.
Yeah, I think I've seen something, and I might be wrong, someone can call us out on this if I am wrong, but I've seen something not long ago. I'm sure Birmingham have spent more time in the same division than any other club has now in the AFL. Might be wrong about that. But yeah, I think you said 13 seasons there, so it probably tallies up. But I don't know if it tells the full story, because obviously they've had a bit of change off the pitch. They've had new ownership come in. Obviously, the one that everyone will remember is Tom Brady's came in as a sort of minority stakeholder. The famous, is he an NFL player? Shows how little other sport.
He was a quarterback, wasn't he?
Yeah, apparently the best ever, but I wouldn't have a clue, because the Americans are world champions at all of their own sports, and I don't care about any of them. But yeah, I know that he's famous and earned lots of money doing that. So, you know, that got a bit of positivity initially, and you know, they started the season really well, didn't they? So you were thinking, oh, this is them on a resurgence. But yeah, Birmingham just not a big player ever really in my time supporting Sun. And they did push us that year when we were in the Championship under Keane, didn't they? I think that went right to the final day. We were banking on them losing, I think, to Preston. I might be wrong, but I feel like that went down to the final day when we beat Luton 5-0 to win the Championship. It was us or them, and Steve Bruce was the manager. But other than that,
they finished second, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it was between the two of us going down the final day. Yeah. But yeah, just a club, and Birmingham fans will probably hate saying this if they're listening, but just a club sort of sat in the shadow of Aston Villa, really. You know, being from the same city, and you know, when I think of Villa, I always think of them sort of that John Gregory era, then Martin O'Neill finishing top end of the Premier League and spending money on big name players and things like that. And then when it comes to Birmingham, I just kind of remember Steve Bruce, and it depresses us a little bit. although they did win the League Cup, didn't they? What was that, 2009, 2010, around then? With Craig Gardner and Seb Larson in the team. And then they both went on to sign for us. So, yeah, just a funny club, Birmingham. I don't they sort of feel like a Coventry or a Reading or a, you know what I mean? Like you described, just a club who've not really amounted to much over the years. And when you look at it, though, they get decent crowds. They've got, you know, there's a bit of history there. And St Andrews is one of the old grounds that's still going, that still holds quite a few fans. So I just think they're probably about where they should be. And if they somehow in the next couple of years challenge at the top end of the Championship, it's going to be because these owners chuck money at it, isn't it? It's not because of any sort of deep-rooted philosophy on football or anything like that, because like you say, they've been stuck in the mud for a long time.
Yeah, I don't mind St Andrews, actually. One of the older grounds, at least, with a little bit of character left.
Takes ages to get there. That's all I remember. Being there. I was there when, I think it was when Chris Coleman was manager, and I always remember Kazenga Luwalua played and we got beat 3-1. It was like a midweek. And that was a depressing drive back, because I don't think I got back in the house till 2 or 3 in the morning. Then I had to go to work the next day, and I think I've avoided the place since.
Yeah, it is one of them. It's always a rough day out. I remember getting chased back under the coach in the 90s, but that's another story altogether. Yeah, for the last for the last 11 seasons, right, the highest they finished is 10th in the table. Now, if you think about that, 11 years, and the highest you finished is 10th. In the table. I mean, I know it was rough being in League One for 4 years, but at least for those 4 years, we won most of the games.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sounds like a slog, you know, 11 years, and like the all you've got to show for it is 2 10th place finishes.
And, you know, Jude Bellingham. Just about there's that. You know,
well, and you retire the shirt because he's so good.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, we're probably, we might sound like we're being a little bit disrespectful, but it is the fact of it. I know you mentioned there about, you know, the fact when we were in League One, it was at least you're winning games. I know I'm getting away from it a little bit, but I kind of feel like that about when we talk about the Premier League. I'm sort of like, I quite like winning games of football. I don't really want to be in a division where we don't do very much. So, yeah, Birmingham just kind of look like they're due a change in fortunes, I guess, which is what makes us, I mean, we're going to get onto it, I presume, but makes everything seem so weird about the way they started the season and then decided to change direction, because actually, for a stint there. They look like a team who could possibly challenge for the playoffs even. And look at them now, they're sort of plumping back down the table, and they might come back up, but they're a weird club.
Yeah, well, let's get into that, because obviously you mentioned earlier on kind of about that, the Wayne Rooney effect, because that's gonna be a part of it. It's going to be weird to see him on the sidelines as a manager at the Stadium of Light.
Mm.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, so they changed manager after a 3-1 win against West Bromwich Albion, October the 6th, that game was. And before that, they had a 4-1 win against Huddersfield. And after those two wins, John Eustace was sacked. But I was looking before those two wins, I mean, that took them up to sixth. But before those two wins, like you say, against West Brom and Huddersfield, they went 5 without a win before that. They'd lost 3 and drawn 2 of the 5 prior to those two. So they weren't on like a fantastic run. But they were doing well, you know, sixth in the league, and they'd finished way down, you know, in 17th last season. So it was already an improvement. But it was obvious, you've already mentioned the new ownership. The guy who owns it is American. Like I said, Tom Brady's involved. It didn't take a genius that when Wayne Rooney left DC United as manager, that he was saying, oh, yeah, well, if any vacancies crop up, and then suddenly John Eustace gets sacked out of the blue and they've got American owners. I mean, it was pretty obvious that Wayne Rooney was going to step in there. But it's odd that, you know, Birmingham fans, again, they go back to, going back to 2015-16, when Gary Rowett was doing really well, and they swapped him out with Gianfranco Zola, and it went belly up. It went completely wrong. So it's different owners, but it's completely the same type of decision.
Yeah, I just don't get this appointment, if I'm brutally honest. I think, you know, it's very easy to get sucked in by the name. Yeah, it's Wayne Rooney. He was a world-class footballer, one of the best of his generation, probably one of the best ever players to play for England. But that was as a player. And there's been a few players from that generation who've stepped into management. You think of sort of like Frank Lampard, Gerrard. There'll be somebody else who I can't recall. John Terry's milled about with clubs as assistants. Players from that generation.
Ashley Cole's in there with them.
Yes, who's in there with them. You know, and Gary Neville obviously dipped his toe with Valencia, didn't he? And that didn't go well.
Pulled it straight out.
Yeah, Phil Neville with Inter Miami, which went tits up. So quite a lot of players from that generation have went into management and really struggled, which is interesting because they all came from sort of solid backgrounds working under really good managers. And I don't know whether it's that the you know, people seem to think that if you played for Brian Clough or you played for Alex Ferguson, you're automatically going to be a good manager. But it's been proven not to be the case quite a few times. And with Rooney, I guess the jury's out still, isn't it? I think he was at Derby when they were in shit state, really. And he actually did a half-decent job there with what he had at his disposal. And then they were relegated, obviously, eventually, but he moved on to America, where he's done nothing, really. And I think it's hard to do well in the MLS just because of the structure there. And, you know, you kind of just bring in a raft of players, which I'm sure you would have loved to have done. But I don't know about you, but even when Rooney was a captain as a player, I never ever felt like he was the type of character who could lead. Maybe in terms of his play on the pitch, but he's quite a meek, quiet person. He's not like an intelligent lad, is he? He's not a deep thinker or somebody you think could engage you in conversation for very long. He's not that type of person. I mean, I know there's, you know, people always stereotype him as being a bit thick and all that, and maybe he's not, I don't know, but I just don't get him as the type of person who would like grab a squad by the scruff of the neck, get them all fighting for each other, screaming at them in the dressing room. I could be totally wrong about Rooney, but he doesn't strike me as the manager type. I don't know how he sort of fell into this, to be honest. I thought he would just be the type of bloke who would, with all the money he's got in the bank, just sort of sod off into the background and live his life and, you know, shag loads of grannies and do whatever he wants to do, you know. But, you know, he's in football management, and I just don't get it. Because, I mean, as fantastic as he was as a player, nobody can tell me he's like a manager type. I just don't get it. I think he'll see this sort of, this will fall apart very quickly at Birmingham, I think.
There was surely a few movie roles out there for him, to be fair, weren't there?
Are they bringing back Planet of the Apes? Maybe. Maybe.
Well, to be fair though, I mean, I probably thought something similar, but I actually thought he did a decent job at Derby. when he stepped in there.
Yeah, yeah, he did. And I think, given the circumstances, actually, it can be... we've seen that a few times over the years where, like, everything's going tits up off the pitch, but it actually galvanises the club. Everyone works together more closely and everybody sort of buys into what they're trying to do. It's like, yeah, it's all going to shit off the pitch, but we're together and stuff. And I sort of wonder how much of that was at play at Derby rather than it being about Wayne Rooney. I mean, look at them now. Obviously, they're in League One under a different manager, but I don't know. It's tough to say. It's like saying, you know, like Gerrard won the league, didn't he, with Rangers, and then done nothing with Villa, and then sort of moved on to bloody Saudi Arabia. It's like, you know, it just depends on the circumstances. Sometimes it's just a good situation to walk into, even if it doesn't appear so on the outside, and it might be in that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, like I said, John Eustace was sacked 6th of October. I think he was sacked a few days after that game when they beat West Brom, so that put them in 6th going into that international window. So they had a couple of weeks to kind of play with what they were going to do next, and then Wayne Rooney was appointed, and his first game was October the 21st, which is Middlesbrough away. They got beat 1-0 there. Then they went, they had Hull City at home. They got beat 2-0 against Hull.
And then, and were booed off, by the way. And were booed,
and they were booed off.
Yeah, I mean, jeered off the pitch because of, I mean, has a manager ever had that happen in his first ever home game? Booed off the pitch? It just shows you the state of it, doesn't it?
And then away to Southampton, which, to be fair, they're starting to get their house in order. They lost 3-1 there. And I looked at the stats for that. They had 29% possession. But I know Southampton can do that to teams.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
And the last time out, last weekend, was the kind of where the green shoots seemed to be popping through. Went 2-0 at home to high-flying Ipswich, which it really annoys us that Ipswich are doing so well, but that's a different story. They went 2-0 up against Ipswich, and it was two late goals that Ipswich got, made a few substitutions with about 15, 20 minutes to go, changed the game. And they ended up drawing that game and only taking a point when they were, like I said, 2-0 up with about 15 minutes left. And I noticed again in that team, and I know Ipswich are playing well, but they only had 33% possession in that game. And I only say this because I know we're talking about Wayne Rooney, and I don't know why. I don't know. There's nothing really to base it on. But when the likes of him and Ashley Cole go into a team like Birmingham, you almost expect them to put their stamp on it and say, right, well, we're going to play possession-based football. And you almost expect them to have more possession because they're kind of doing that. But I was looking at the stats, and in his four games so far, and I know they've played possession-based sides, like especially Hull and Southampton. They're the two that stick out who play that sort of way. But over the four games, they've had 37% possession. And I was looking at John Eustace's last four games, and he had an average of 49%. So they've had like 12% less possession than they had before Rooney came in. So it doesn't seem like he's put any sort of stamp on it in terms of keeping the ball, style of play or anything like that. But, you know, just on the face of it, four games, 1 point out of 12. I mean, and the Birmingham fans didn't like the change to begin with. It doesn't reek of a successful change of manager, does it?
No, I mean, the thing is, I guess, is they were doing pretty well before he came in. So logically, you know, it was a bit like this when Alex Neil walked out and Mowbray came in. He didn't really want to change an awful lot because it was actually working what the last manager was doing. Maybe they've looked at it from that perspective, but their attack's got a lot of pace in it. You've got Koji Mayoshi, Oliver Burke, Junior Bacunha, Jay Stansfield, who obviously is a player we tracked over the summer and is flying for them. He got another goal at the weekend. But there's a lot of pace and movement in that front four, and maybe it's just a case of surrendering possession to try and break against teams. And I imagine that's how they're going to play against us as well, because, you know, we're going to have a lot of the ball. We do leave gaps in behind and stuff. And we aren't playing a traditional defence as we normally would. We know there's no Ballard, there's no 09 for this one. So yeah,
we'll come on to that.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, If you're Wayne Rooney looking at it, you're thinking, right, well, some are going to have lots of the ball. There's going to be a little bit of disruption in there. Let's try and, you know, soak up a bit of pressure and counter against them. Because, to be honest, I don't really rate Oliver Burke. He's been all over the place over the years. You know, he burst through as a kid at Nottingham Forest and then got a big money move to Leipzig, didn't work out, ended up at West Brom where he barely played. He got loaned out all over the place. Then he went to Sheffield United, didn't work out there. Then he went to Werder Bremen where he's on loan to Birmingham from now. He was at Millwall last season. So he's never really settled anywhere, but he is like, he's a big lad. He's sort of 6 foot, 6 foot one, stocky, got a lot of pace, can go either way. So you're expecting them to try and get it up the pitch quickly and play that way against us. But I don't think if you're Rooney, there's a lot of change, is there? I don't know. Maybe now after a bad string of results since he came in, there's a couple of opportunities coming up to try and change something. Obviously, with the international break coming up, that's your time, isn't it? Those 2 weeks to try and do something a bit different. So I'm not expecting them to be a great deal different in the game against us than they were against Ipswich, because really, very similar team to us, Ipswich, in terms of the way they try to play the football. I know they play with a more traditional sort of number nine at the top end of the pitch, so perhaps that came into the thinking. But I look at Birmingham and I just think they're gonna try and use that pace they've got on the break against us. And you know, if I was Wayne Rooney, that's what I'd be doing. I'd be trying the exact same thing. Try and get lads up the sides of the pitch where we leave gaps and counter, and it might work, it might not, but at the Stadium of Light on that big pitch, I presume that's the way he's going
to
play.
Yeah, I noticed that he's been playing a similar formation to kind of what we're playing, really, 4-2-3-1. You know, like you said, all of that behind kind of Stansfield, who's, like you said, got 5 goals in 12 games. Only 20-year-old, he looks a player, Jay Stansfield, from what I've seen of him. And as he said, I was looking at Oliver Burke, and he's such a strange one, isn't he? I mean, he's probably, I think it was, you know, 13 million to Leipzig, 15 million to West Brom. I was amazed to see he's 26, because for so many years he's been this young lad who has been coming through. And then when I actually looked at his age, he's 26. And you're looking at his stats, he hardly ever plays a full season. And you're thinking, you know, on loan from Werder Bremen, you know, he's had all these transfer fees. It's like, it's almost this season, someone has to say, you have to start doing something now.
Yeah. Just a funny career he's had, isn't it? Been all over the place. I mean, he's not scared to travel. Like I say, he was at Forest, then he was at he's had a couple of loan spells in there. You know, he was at Bradford, Leipzig, went over to Germany, back to England with West Brom in the Premier League, and then the Championship, and then Scottish Premiership with Celtic. Back to, you know, across to La Liga with Alaves, back to England, back to Germany. Just, you know, crazy, really. But he hasn't settled anywhere. Bit like Patrick Roberts, really, before he turned up with us. Very similar career path, sort of had a big money move as a kid and ended up at Celtic on loan and then went all over the place, including Spain, before he settled on a club. But I've watched him loads of times, and I think, you know, looks can be deceiving. I think he's a big lad with pace, so maybe that's carried him a long way. Trust me saying all this now, he'll probably have a blinder at the weekend.
Speaking of a big lad with pace, we know him quite well, Deion Sanderson at the back, and what we wouldn't do for him in red and white this weekend, obviously being short at the back. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see him back at the Stadium of Light, maybe one that got away. I don't know how you feel about it.
He's the captain, isn't he? I think there was a time where I was like dead set on signing him, because it felt like he would have come back as well. You know, he was great for us, Deion Sanderson, to be fair. Like, that was at a time when we weren't great to watch under Parkinson.
Yeah.
And he was a bright spark at that point. But I sort of look at it now, and I always thought, oh, Deion Sanderson will be a Premier League player. But for whatever reason, Wolves weren't settled on him, and he's ended up at Birmingham. They played a couple of million quid for him. I think they signed him around about the time we signed Ballard. And if you compare those two bits of business, I probably would rather have had Dan Ballard than Deion Sanderson in my team. It was funny, I was just reading before we came on a tweet, because he was getting a bit of praise on the Birmingham Twitter page, and replies under it weren't actually that kind, saying he hasn't really turned up until the last couple of games. And so I don't know with him. I imagine he's going to play a blinder at the weekend just because of us. I would say out of all the players that sort of didn't hang around very long when we were in League One, he's probably the one I wish we did sign, actually. Because even in this team now, you can see him where he would fit in, wouldn't you? you know, right-footed, but can play sort of right back or centre half. Can play in a back three or a back two. Can play out. Like, got loads of pace. He's good in the air. And I don't, to be honest though, I haven't really seen him in the last few years. But I presume he's got better, or he wouldn't be captain in Birmingham. So yeah, nice to see him back though.
No, well, cheers for that, mate. Good to know he's coming into form. You know, just as we're about to play them. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see him at the Stadium of Light again. Right, and get into the good stuff in terms of Birmingham. I've been looking forward to going through this because it's all positive. That looking at Birmingham's away form, played 7 this season, and they've taken 4 points away from home in those 7 games, and they've lost the last 5 successive games away from home. It's the 4th worst away record in the division. Only Rotherham and Sheffield Wednesday have conceded more goals away from home. In the last 5, they've conceded 10 and only scored 2 goals in the last 5 on their travels. Are we going to be talking about another one of them? It only happens to Sunderland, you know. Everyone waits for, you know, everyone had a bad run, waits to play Sunderland, or you know, should we just be swatting these aside with form like that? And I was going to say, because obviously it overlaps with Wayne Rooney, because he's only had 2 of them, and to be fair, they were at Borough and Southampton, which aren't easy away games.
No. The other stat you didn't read, by the way, Tony Mowbray has won his last 6 league games against Birmingham, which is another one to add in.
Well, I think that there's another one that we're unbeaten against Birmingham in the last 6 in all competitions at the Stadium of Light. And we have to go back to, I don't know if you've already looked it up, but we have to go back to 2006 since Birmingham last won. And I don't know if you've already looked on it. You know who was in the dugouts, which was just completely bizarre when you look at it?
Steve Bruce.
Niall Quinn for us and Steve Bruce for them. Yeah, it's bizarre looking back. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, so everything's pointing to we should win it. But again, you know, like I said, with Wayne Rooney coming in, it overlapping between 2 managers that are away run, you know, how easy is it for them to almost kind of reset this and say, well, okay, yes, on paper it's like that, but actually Wayne Rooney's only had 2 away games, so we can kind of almost reset and start again.
You've got to try and almost catapult yourself into their camp and their mindset, really, when you think about it. You know, come off such a high from Eustace doing quite well to sacking him, bringing this guy in. He hasn't won a game yet. They're going to be very tense, I think. I feel almost a bit like that Chef Wed away game, where I think we've just got to really drive the nail in very early in the game, because they're going to be tense. And, you know, we've seen it so many times at the Stadium. Like, the longer it goes on, the longer the game goes on and we don't get a goal, they grow in confidence, and there is a blueprint for how to play at the Stadium of Light. Everybody knows what it is. You know, sit deep, try and take advantage of us on set pieces. You might win 1-0, you might win 2-1. There's a blueprint for how to play, and that's exactly how I expect them to come and play against us, with the added caveat that they've got pace up front, which a lot of teams who do that don't have. You know, they've got some really good players in terms of attacking players. But I'm expecting us to really get at them early. I think Mowbray will be trying to extract some positivity from that Swansea game. But I bet the point, which has been driven home all week, is that we've got to be better in front of goal. I'm sure as hell that's been the theme of the conversation, not just amongst the management to the players, but the players too. They must have come away from that game and felt really disappointed. But knowing the character they've got, also a sense of responsibility, and that, right, we put it right on Saturday. When we get chances, we score goals. And I just hope that the attitude's good, because if it is, we'll beat Birmingham. I've got no doubt about that. Yeah. I actually look at their team and I rate them. I think they've got some, for the Championship, they've got a decent team, actually, Birmingham. And we can't forget that. You know, it's not a gimme that we're going to win this game. But anything less than a win would be really, really disappointing for me, because of the... I know I mentioned it to you when we were doing the review show the other day. But, you know, it's 1 win in 5. We've got an international break coming up after this. You know, a win would set us up nicely just for what follows it. But it's all down to how Sunderland plays, me and you say very often. It's all about us. I'm not bothered about Birmingham, really, ultimately. I'm more bothered about whether we turn up with our shooting boots on and whether we fancy it, ultimately. And I'm sure we will. You know, Birmingham are going to come and try and sneak something, but the tension's got to be there, hasn't it, with Rooney. You know, he's desperate to get that first win, just to get the fans and the media off his back, I would suggest, because, you know, people are taking the piss out of Birmingham for what they've done. And that does weigh heavy on everybody around the club, I'm sure, because they went from being in a very safe situation to just chucking that out the window, gambling on Wayne Rooney, and now he's got to prove why they did it. And with every game he doesn't win, it gets more and more tense, and that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting them to turn up and just be completely devoid of confidence. And if we allow them to become confident in the game, that's where they'll be dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, I mean, getting into Sunderland, I mean, you made a good point there about almost responding from the Swansea game. And I was thinking about this earlier, because there's two ways of looking at it, and I was going to ask you about it, and you kind of touched on it a little bit. There's one side of me that thinks that Mowbray might have laid into them a little bit and said, you've got a point to prove, you need to pick it up. Or there's the other camp that says that we were kind of almost there. We just needed, you know, that if we're creating those little chances, if we're getting in the right positions, then eventually it'll come. So do you think it's going to be, you've got a point to prove, or keep doing the same things and it'll eventually happen?
I said this the other day, I think it's the first time in his post-match comments I've sensed a change of tone, in that he seemed to be pushing the responsibility to the forwards, didn't he? And that, you know, not really coming out and making too many excuses for them, that they need to start scoring goals. And I would like to think that somebody's going to take up that responsibility. A striker has to score at some point. And I felt a bit sorry for Roussin coming off when he did, but Mowbray explained it. He said, you know, there was a feeling the ref might, you know, even things up if he gets the chance to. So we brought Roussin off to avoid him really getting sent off, because he'd been booked for that stupid yellow he got for blocking the quick free kick. And he'll learn from that. Maybe he didn't realise that the rules have changed. You know, he's barely played this year, so you wouldn't be surprised. But I would stick by him. I think Roussin's, in a couple of games I've seen him, he looks good. He looks like he's going to get in. The main thing for me is he's going to get in positions where he scores goals, or at least gets the chance to score goals. He made some really good runs at Swansea, and I think if you persist with him, things will come good. So I would say that it's a little bit of this, you know, more of the same. Let's sort of keep up what we've done largely for the last 2 years, but remember how shit it felt coming away from Swansea having not scored a goal, and use that as a motivation to get that monkey off our backs, essentially, and you know, get the early goal, because that's the main thing. Get an early goal in this game and we kill them off, because they're just not, they haven't got the confidence that a team who'd maybe picked up a couple of wins and a couple of draws in the last few games would have. They haven't won for a little while. They've took a knock to their confidence. There's a lot of tension around having to win the game. We've got to use that to our advantage, really. That's the main thing.
You know, you've talked about sticking with Roussin up top, and, you know, and I don't disagree with you there, but do you think, you know, based on the changes he has to make at the back, do you think Mowbray is going to be potentially looking at a change of system? Because there's been a lot of chatter about going three at the back, going with wing backs. Would that impact Roussin up top? I mean, would he even consider going three at the back and maybe then going two up top and partnering Roussin with, I don't know, Hamia, Burstow, whoever? I mean, do you think the two suspensions in central defence is an opportunity to experiment a little bit with the system? Or would you just go like for like, we've got a system, we've got a way of playing, let's just put two centre-halves in there?
I would go like for like, but I don't think that's what he's going to do. And I understand if people are sort of not too sure on playing both Triantis and Sealed. But we signed them for a reason. You know, Triantis is, yes, he's a young lad and he's, you know, fairly inexperienced, but he's just won a league title in Australia. So he's played men's football. He's at least got that sort of track record of playing. Sealed's played a little bit more than he has in the first team. But you look at the height he's got, and we're going to lose Ballard and 09's ability on set pieces, so we're going to need him in there. I worry he's going to play Hume with Sealed, just because it gets him a few more familiar faces into the defence. But then that means we're very vulnerable on set pieces. And I know I talk about them having pace up front, but, you know, they might look at it and think their best two headers of the ball aren't playing. they might play Lukas Jukovic up front, who's a wily old centre-forward who always plays well against Sunderland, just to take advantage of the fact we're not going to have those players in the box. And to me, as good as, you know, Hume is, I think he can play centre-half, but he's, you know, you don't think of him for his heading ability. And I just think for continuity's sake, put people in the positions that they know how to play, you know. I like Huggins, but I think for this game I would bring him out. Just because of the fact that we need to try and keep some balance. So I would go with Sirkin at left back, Triantis and Seal through the middle with Hume at right back. And I know that's probably a little bit harsh on Huggins, because he's played actually quite well, you know, this season. I've got no real fault to pick with him, but we need to try and achieve some balance. You know, we know Sirkin's decent in the air, so I'll bring him in for that reason. And then the rest of the team would sort of flow from there, you know, the same two centre midfielders, the same attack, and then Roosan up front. But I think what Mowbray will do is go with the back three, which is the system we sort of finished the game off with. I think he'll go with sort of a back three of Hume, Sealt and Sirkin, which I just don't like the idea of, but I feel like that's what he's going to do. With Huggins and possibly Clark playing as the wing backs again.
Yeah.
And I can see that
happen. Wing back.
Yeah, I just think that's what he's going to do. I may be totally wrong, but I just feel like that's what he'll possibly do, with Sirkin covering up most of the duties on the left-hand side, to be fair, that you know, the defensive side of the game. But still, it does restrict Jack Clark when you ask him to do anything other than what he's good at. So fingers crossed he does what I said and he plays the two lads at the back. But, you know, I can understand if he doesn't as well, because it is a big call to put two young kids in for the full debuts in the league together. You know, ordinarily you'd be thinking, right, if Triantis played, it would be alongside 09 or Ballard. But we have no choice in the matter. And I think, you know, Seal costs a lot of money. Triantis has been brought in because we really rate him. You're not going to get a better chance to start them than now. And the other thing I would like to say is, you know, with Triantis, we've given him a lot of football in the 21s to prepare him for this. You know, that's what they keep saying. If they're not in the first team squad, they play for the 21s to get the minutes into the legs to make sure they're ready. Triantis has played a lot of football for the 21s, and you'd like to think he's going to be fit and available for this one. If he's been training well, why not? Go with it. But I couldn't put my finger on what I think Mowbray's going to actually do. I'm a bit torn on that.
Do you think he'll actually consider going two up top? Especially because everybody's talking about the goals. Everybody's talking about all of our strikers not getting on the score sheet yet. And maybe the solution is to try and go with a partnership.
Maybe, but I don't see him doing it. I think it'll be, he'd probably just chuck another number 10 in behind the striker. So it'll be Pritchard or Dak. Right. Just come in and, you know, he seems to like them in there, doesn't he? You know, we said this after Swansea, because we were arguing, oh, I would have liked to see Oshish, and I would have liked to see Sirkin come on, but he didn't. Dak's his old, reliable, trusty dog who goes everywhere with him, and, you know, he knows that when he sends him to fetch his slippers, he's going to bring them back. Pritchard, much the same, actually. You know, he loves Pritchard, doesn't he? And after the start of the season where it seemed like he might leave, he wasn't in the team, he's been brought back in, and he's done okay here and there, but I think he's more likely to do that because we're losing a bit of leadership and experience with that defensive partnership going out the window. You wouldn't be surprised for especially Pritchard, because Pritchard's a talker. Pritchard organises. I think we're more likely to see him come in. But if it's me, I just think you've brought these lads in for a reason. If they can't get a game now, then when are they going to really get a proper chance to stake a claim and get a game? We saw it with Hume last year. Hume, we had no right backs. Gooch was injured and all the other issues we had. And Hume came in and he solidified his position. And to me, it's a great chance for these lads to come in and show why they're here. We've seen it repeatedly over the last couple of years under this sort of leadership, under this regime, that when players eventually get the chance, they take it. So it might be the making of them both. What I'd love to see is them to come in, play absolutely out of their skin and show us exactly why they're here. And then Mowbray's then got a decision to make the week after when he's like, bloody hell, I've got to try and drop these two lads with Ballard and 09. That's what you want. But they're never going to get that chance if you don't give them it. So, you know, just do it. Just do it.
Yeah. I mean, look, from my point of view, you've brought in two young central defenders And you bring them in because your first choice central defenders are going to get injured. They're going to get suspended. And then when it happens, if you don't play them, it's almost you're admitting, they're not good enough.
Yeah.
Or they're not
someone,
ready yet.
Someone mentioned with Joe Anderson last year when we had no fit centre-halves and Gooch played ahead of him at the back. And it sort of told you what the thought of him. It was like, you know, he's never going to be ready.
And that's it. I mean, we're the lads, you know, they've been here, what? It's November, what, 3-4 months? Maybe a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, you know, and then the opportunity's there. And the thing is, the mindset's different. You know, people talking about their performances in the under-21s. Yes, don't disagree. If they struggled there, you know, there might be a slight chance they're going to struggle. But the thing is that, the argument is they should be ready for every game when they play football, blah, blah, blah. But there just is a different feeling between playing under-21s and playing for a first team in front of, you know, 38, 40,000 people at the Stadium of Light in a lunchtime kickoff live on Sky. I mean, you know, you're just, they're going to be more up for it. You'd like to think they'd be more focused for that than an under-21 game. But like I said, I mean, I've talked to you and I'm going to, you know, talk about the preview for the game at the weekend that I'm going to knock up for the website. I look at parallels between the first season at the Stadium of Light when Jody Craddock and Darren Williams were chucked in. Jody Craddock was signed, young lad from Cambridge United. He played quite a lot of games for Cambridge, but still it was in the lower leagues. Darren Williams was signed the previous season for $50,000 as a central midfielder from York City. Neither were kind of, you know, central defenders, what you call them. They came in and I think we lost kind of two or three in the next 38, 40 games or something like that because they took the opportunity. But like I said, for me, it's the psychology of the thing. You're almost, if you don't play them, you're almost, it's a signal to them and to the fans that either A, they're not good enough, or B, you don't think that they're ready for first team football, which is a massive signal to send out to those players because you basically shout it from the rooftops. The other thing with a player going to three at the back is I just think that's why I was kind of starting to whinge about Clark as wing back earlier on. He's played so well this season. I mean, what I want to see, especially at home, and again, I might be a bit old fashioned about it, but we've got two cracking wingers and I want to see the fullbacks run past them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll lose that. Playing three at the back, we'll lose that. And I just think at home, that would give us such an extra kind of dimension down the side because Clark and Roberts can go either way. And if you've got a fullback taking a player away from them, it just opens the pitch up. I mean, you go back to, you know, Alan Johnson and all that sort of stuff where Mickey Gray ran down the line because Mickey Gray's runs made Alan Johnson what he was in some ways.
Yeah, exactly. And we've been calling for it for a while. I don't know if we're going to get it in this game just because of the fact that we're going to be a little bit more guarded with how much protection we've got at the back. If we've got to bring in one of those two centre-halves are going to start this game. I feel like it's going to be Sealed because he's been exposed to the first team a little bit more. But that then, you know, we start throwing a little bit of reliance to Sirkin and Hume. And asking them perhaps to like, right, you need to make sure everything's kept tight at the back, keep them too right. So it's really tough because what my ideal is, you know, once Sirkin's back fit, is we play exactly like you've just said, where yes, we have a holding midfield player, but he sort of sits in with the defence when we haven't got the ball. The fullbacks bomb on. The other central midfield players in the number 10, they play around the wingers and the fullbacks get beyond and get crosses into the box. And that's where we'll get goals from. We'll score goals. You know, Roosan will get 10, 15 goals if he's playing with wide players who actually get crosses into the box. But I actually thought as well, just to go back to Swansea a little bit, I thought we did that a lot better. And it was irritating that we didn't capitalise on it because, Clark and Roberts were cutting the ball back more than I've ever seen them. And even Mowbray commented on it after the game. About the fact that they were cutting it back constantly and getting balls across and just nobody was getting on the end of it. But if you persist with it, it'll come. So I'm not really sure because really it's all dependent on who he picks at the back. And I just feel like if we go with a back three, I can't remember last time we looked good with a back three. Like I saw us play it. I felt like this in pre-season, which sounds daft, but we played a back three quite a lot in pre-season when we didn't have a striker. So Humia would play one game and then the other game we would sort of go without a forward. play with a back three with wing backs. And I never enjoyed watching it. I went to Hartlepool in pre-season where we got battered playing basically our B team, but still first team players with a back three. And then I've seen us do it a couple of times in games where we've tweaked during the game. Saturday gone was an example where we got 55 minutes in and we went, right, we're going with a back three, we're going with wing backs and all. And I don't know. I just don't feel like it works for us. Maybe it will in time, but if he goes with a back three at the weekend, I'm just going to groan and dread the game. And I just think there's no need to change the shape because you've lost two centre-halves. Just put two centre-halves in. Let the rest of the team do what it's good at and we'll be fine. It's a home game as well, let's not forget. And as you mentioned before, Birmingham don't like to have the ball. So more than likely, the two centre-halves aren't going to have a lot to do unless we give away corners and free kicks, which is a perfect time to bring them in.
Yeah. I was just about to say exactly the same thing. If you're not bringing them in a home game where you're going to have most of possession, most of the territory, you're not going to be under pressure. You're not going to be kind of defending for long periods. It's a strange time not to bring them in if you've got the opportunity, but we'll see what happens. So, we've gone through how bad Birmingham have been recently away from home, lost the last five successive games, conceded 10 in the last five, scored twice. So, part of me thinks we're going to go to town like we did with Southampton. And another part just worries the longer it stays 0-0 that we'll get more anxious because we're struggling to score.
Yeah, that's at the back of my mind. Just, like I said, because they're so tense and they needed that win, the earlier we hurt them, the better, because it could capitulate. We get an early goal, it could be 2-0 by half time, and then you might get another one in the second half. But the other side of it is that teams do get more confident when they come here and we can't break them down. And then by the end of the game, you're like, bloody hell, they're going to score from a corner or whatever. So, to be honest, I see us winning it, but I think it's going to be hard. I just feel like their last couple of results, whilst on the face of it look disappointing, they do look like they've improved a little bit. And I know Wayne Rooney said that. Wayne Rooney said that he feels like the performances are decent, the just results aren't following it. We were in that position at the start of the season where we felt like we were playing well, but we weren't getting the results. And eventually it's going to click one day for them and they will beat somebody. I'm sure, they might have a bad season, but they're going to win eventually somewhere. And so often over the last couple of years, teams out of form who you just expect to win come to us and we can't break them down for whatever reason. They just turn up and decide that they want to have a blinder. So, I'm not as confident about this one, even though I've spoke quite confidently throughout this pod. I'm just... having stewed on it a little bit, I don't know. I'm not sure about this one. I think we're going to win, but I think it's going to be a tough game. I reckon it might be a 1-0 or a 2-1, like a tight game that we just sneak with maybe a late goal. And I'll be happy with that because it means we've won a game. But I don't think we're going to be sat there for 90 minutes in cruise control like we were against Southampton. I think it's going to be... I think they're actually going to turn up knowing how to play against us and they're going to make it horrible at times. And I talk about that pace they've got up front in attack. I sort of worry that Jukovic plays because he will make it ugly. He's a big, old-fashioned, horrible centre-forward who chucks his elbows about, wins loads of headers, holds it up well, is a danger from corners. And if I'm Wayne Rooney, I'm bringing him in and I'm taking advantage of the fact we've got the two best headers of the ball missing and making the game ugly. So... a lot of it depends on us, as always, but I just sort of wonder how he picks his team and if he approaches it in the way I'm expecting, how that impacts on the result. But yeah, I'm going with I'll go 1-0 Sunderland because we have struggled to find the net in recent games more often than not. So yeah, 1-0 to us.
Bloody hell, I'm genuinely staggered that that you've come out with that. You're normally kind of really positive, and what scares us is these are the ones that normally go wrong when, you're not feeling it and I get confident because I think we'll get an early goal and I think it'll be a fairly comfortable, Southampton beat them 3-1. I think we can, I think it's 3-0, something like that at the weekend. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
that's worrying us because I'm never that positive and it's normally you. The tables have turned and that's really thrown us off.
Bit of reverse psychology, let's see if it works, eh?
Yeah, but no, I think it's going to be comfortable. I think we're going to get that early goal. And actually, majority of the time, we actually seem to enjoy playing in front of the cameras. for once we're going through a period of not being too bad on Sky. We seem to turn it on, although, you know, we seem to be on Sky most weeks. But yeah, I just think we're gonna have a point to prove. I think, Tony Mowbray is gonna have them up for it. I think they're gonna be focused on getting that early goal because that's everything for us at home. You just need to look at the Southampton one, and I just think it could be comfortable.
Fingers crossed.
I'm glad I went second and keep it positive. So we can probably end it there, mate. So thanks again.
Cheers, mate.
Yep, and just a quick plug once again for our book, which is out there, SAFC 365. You can buy it on the Love Supreme website. All the links are on all of our pieces on our website and rubberreport.com. But from us, it's bye for now.
See ya.
DJ fucking bad boy. Friday fucking night, lads.